Identifying.
Bye bye, one.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to Jim Beaver's Project Action, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studios, exclusively on the Podcast One Network. And I got to tell you, it is going to be short and sweet this week here on Project Action. I am headed to the Mint 400, like literally right now, headed to the Mint 400. The biggest, baddest off-road race on the planet is going down this weekend in Las Vegas. I'm racing the Polaris Razor Star Car with Antron Brown, Steve Torrance, and Jolene Van Vuit. And you guys hopefully join us Friday from our live radio show. The Down and Dirty Radio Show will be airing live on Friday, 10:30 Pacific. And then we've got a live stream on Saturday. You can watch the race on the live stream at themint400.com or their Facebook page. So make sure and check it out. It's going to be one hell of a fun weekend. Because I'm keeping it short and sweet, got a few Mint 400 interviews we're dropping at you. We got more of them coming at you throughout the week. But we got Jerry Zaden, my General Tire teammate, and Rob McCaffrey on today's show. This is a little bit different cut from Rob's interview from last week. I think you guys are definitely going to enjoy it. But a couple of banger interviews, and we're going to check out because I got to go race the Mint 400 this week. So sometimes when I'm busy, you get just a short little bit. Other times you get a whole lot. But this week it's definitely short, sweet. Got to thank our partners here on Project Action. True Car, you know, if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what's it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. And all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something to you. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you'll know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories. Before you even get to the dealership, True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars that you want, all from the comfort of your home. And how do you know if True Price is a great price? Well, it's because True Car shows you what other people paid for the car you want. And your certified dealers know this, so they set True Price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. And you know everybody's got a to-do list, drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. Thank you, Geico. Thank you, True Car. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you got any questions for me, you want to ping me out at the Mint 400, it's at Jim Beaver 15, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook groups.com/Jim Beaver 15. We chat action, sports, and racing over there. So, those are my details. Please go to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast, subscribe to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. I like to hear from you guys. I love your feedback. Thank you for the continued support. I know it's short this week, but I'm going racing. So here is a couple of interviews with Jerry Zaden and Rob McCaffrey. Jim Beaver here, joined on the line by my General Tire teammate, Jerry Zaden. What is happening, Jerry?
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing well, man. Flying solo today. Amy decided she needed to go to Mexico on her week off for her birthday or something. So, I don't know. She's having more fun than I am today, that's for sure. life is good, man. Just getting ready for the Mint 400. I know I talked to you yesterday on the phone, and you guys are pretty much like me, pinned nonstop. I mean, this is – like, to me, it's weird because we've got Parker and we've got these events at the start of the year, and they're big. But, like, to me, the season, like, really starts at the Mint 400. Like, I rewrapped the car for the Mint 400, and I know you guys debuted a new theme or a new paint scheme at Parker. But it's like, to me, it's like the season kind of really starts at the Mint 400 for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like even, you know, Parker's such a big race, right? Like, everyone's there. It's almost like it's like the shakedown for the Mint 400. You know, it's like you got to go to this gnarly race. I mean, we all know Parker's like probably the hardest race of the year. The attrition's insane. I mean, what were there in the 6100 trucks, like 40 of them started and only like 15 of them or something finished, or something like, it was crazy, like less than half finished. And that's a class where, you know, like 60-70% of them finish. But it kind of feels like, yeah, it's the beginning of the year. But what a lot of people don't understand about desert racing is it's kind of like Parker's that race like thrown in, right? Because we have the last races of the year, whether you're doing, you know, the Baja 1000 in November, or you're doing the Pahrump, you know, the last race of the year in Best in the Deserts, the Pahrump race, which is in December. And then you got Christmas, New Year's, then boom, you're already in Parker, which is the first race of the year. But you only really have like 4 weeks of open shop time to prep that vehicle. And then there's another 4 weeks and you're going to the Mint 400. It's almost like the Mint 400 is like the last race of the season, even, you know, it's what feels like the start of the season, right? And as desert racers, like our downtime's really, you know, most of May, June, July, and most of August. So there's like a 4 month off period if you're doing the Best in the Desert series because of the temperatures in the desert.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like we're just in this full pin mode from right before Christmas until we get through the Mint 400. It's just it just doesn't stop, and you got SEMA and all the Supercross events and all these other things going on. It's such a busy time.
Yeah, and do you go to PRI? Have you been to PRI? I went this year, and I was like, it was a mistake, because then I go, you know what? I went there, and I've been told I needed to go, and I went, and I'm like, what's the biggest mistake of my life? Because now I know I need to be there every December. So it's one of those.
Yeah, thanks for telling me that, because I've never been, and every year I'm like, we need to go, but my wife's always like, you're out of town like every single weekend during this time. How do you have time to go there, you know? And every year I was on the phone with you know, Kevin Fitzgerald from Method Wheels, and he was telling me, he's like, you have to go. Like, they actually went there to display their product this year, and they were like, oh my gosh, it was freezing cold. They had that huge winter storm rolling through, and they're in Indiana, which we're not. I'm in California, so like I think it was 80 degrees. I was taking my boat out free diving, right? And these guys are like 0 degrees. I'm like, yeah, maybe it's a good year to skip. But no, I need to go to that PRI show. I hear it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, you and I, we go to the same trade shows, you know, Sand Sports, Off Road Expo, SEMA. It's like we see the same people, the same vendors, and you go to PRI, it's completely different. I mean, there's a little bit of crossover, but it's like completely different people. And like that was what I got the most out of. I'm like, oh, wow, new faces, new products, new companies. Like, this is good. You know, so it's like, you know, once in a while, it's like you just got to step out of your box. And I did it last year, and it was so beneficial. So, yeah, it's one of those. I don't know. Like I said, it was
they used to do that show in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need to get back to Florida.
Yeah, I can do Florida in December. Yeah, I can do Florida in December. But, yeah, Mint 400
cool.
Coming up this week, man. I know you guys changing it up this year. I know we talked earlier this year on the air, but, man, you guys changing it up this year. I mean, you've got the two trucks. You've got the trophy truck or trick truck. You got the 6100. I know Welchel's back behind the wheel. I mean, how are things shaping up for the Mint for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, everything looks really good. You know, we converted our previous 6100 truck, which was, it's not a purpose-built 6100, whatever purpose-built in that class means, right? Like, we know it's a certain weight. Like, you need to be in that low 5,000 range. You know, if you get any lighter than that, the trucks just don't stay on the ground. If you get heavier than that, they stay on the ground, and you got to drive them a little differently. Still capable of winning, as you see in Swift's truck and our old truck, you know, that are 6,000-pound trucks, right? But you get into these, you know, like the Mason, the Geyser, and the Camber trucks, the trucks that are out there winning these races, you know, they're all in that like 5,000 to 5,400 pound range. But they're light trophy trucks, you know, or light trick trucks, whatever you want to call it. And for us, we converted ours into the trick truck. You know, we missed a third place podium by 1 minute at the Henderson race. And then at Pahrump, we were sitting there in fourth place. It was just a dust bowl, you know. It's like, because they qualify, they start some of the buggies in front of you, and then you have the trick trucks mixed in with buggies, and the trucks are just way faster now. And it I don't care what anyone says, that the buggies really need to be racing buggies, and if we're not racing buggies for points and position, then why are we mixing them up, you know? But bottom line is, going into the Mint, we have Welchel getting in the truck. He's going to qualify and start the race. We're going to see, you know, where we are from there. We had a fantastic Parker going until we had catastrophic failure at mile 72 on the first lap. But yeah, we started 33rd and we were like 13th on the road. Like, it was insane. Like, how many people just get flat tires and fall off to the side of the road. And, you know, we just had a self-inflicted issue. You know, we powder coated wheels, and the guys in the shop took a little, the chamfer tool to clean up the paint. Well, we had one of our main mechanics who's real knowledgeable, but just hasn't done that before, just put a chamfer tool on a hand drill, like a Makita type drill. And, went a little too deep, so the corners of the lug nuts were hitting the edge of the taper, so the whole lug nut wasn't into the taper of the wheel, and so what looked like a torqued and properly tightened wheel really wasn't on there correctly. So that wheel wound up passing the truck, and it just happened in the worst possible place on the course, because by the time that truck got pulled into a pit, it was like 5 hours later, so we had to call that race, even though the truck was perfect, you know. But anyways, yeah, so he's one of the best drivers out there, and we want to get good results at the Mint. And so he's going to be in there, and we're going to see what happens from there, you know. And if we're not looking, you know, like a top 10 finish, then I'll jump in the truck and finish off the race. If all goes well, we should be, you know, I would guess in that top five. Like, the truck's going really fast right now. It's working really well.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I've talked with Jerry, what was it? Maybe years so ago, I don't know. Last time I talked with Welchel, though, it was funny because I felt like I was talking to a different Jerry Welchel, and like, you know, he's always been fast, and he's just, but I feel like he's, you know, he's got so much experience. I mean, he's probably got more races under his belt than anybody in off-road, and that includes Rob Mack. But like, I feel like he's become a smarter driver, like a whole lot smarter driver as he's got older, you know. And I feel like, I still think some of Jerry's best races are still in his future, if that makes any sense. And that's a scary thing to say when you're talking about Jerry Welchel.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you hit the nail on the head of experience, right? Like, and what people don't understand is how much of an opportunity sport this is, right? So if you have the resources and you have a little bit of know-how, you can race a trophy truck. Like, anyone could go buy one, anyone could go race one, anyone could get in a 6100 truck, anyone could get in a class 11 car, right? It's just all about the opportunity. So, you know, there's guys in our sport that are like, you know, oh, I won, and then they go to the next race, oh, I won, and go to the next race, oh, I won. Okay, cool, but you're in the stock full class and you raced yourself. Like, yeah, that's not a win. You went and had a good time, and you got a trophy that says you won. It's like the Mint 400 for us last year with Jay Leno. Like, it wasn't about winning a race, it was about showing, you know, how tough that Toyota Tacoma is, that it could finish a race like the Mint 400.
Yeah.
And even the Toyota execs, it's all about the finish, it's all about showing how tough these trucks are. And that truck had zero issues all day, other than Jay getting it stuck for 20 minutes or whatever it was, you know. But the truck finished well and did what it was supposed to do, but we're not out there bragging about the win. For us, like, I think we're you know, we're complete morons, right? Because we're out there racing the hardest class to win, and we're racing against the most competitive teams with multi-million-dollar budgets in the unlimited truck class. So you have the likes of, you know, your BJ Baldwins and Bryce Menzies and Andy McMillan and Jason Voss and Rob McCachran. You got all these top guys with huge budgets behind them, and huge teams focused on just winning the race, right? I think there's 60 trick trucks or more than that, unlimited trucks, going into the Mint 400. No one can say they're going to win this race, right? Like, to go in saying, I'm going to win this race, like, come on. Like, it's all about how you qualify. It's all about your positioning on track. And then the big quiet thing that a lot of people don't admit, it's all on your luck.
Yeah. Well, and that's,
with bad luck, you have no chance. With good luck, you have a great chance.
Yeah.
You know, and
I agree. And there's things like, you can come around a corner and there'll be a bottleneck, or there'll just be a car flipped over, and, you know, and there's no way to escape it. And you know, you try and move and you end up on a rock or something, you know. And it's just like you said, in off-road, there's, doesn't matter how well you prepare, there's always that, just that outside chance something can take you out or can delay you enough where you lose, or and it's not your fault. It's just, that's just the way things happen.
And it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what happened to us at the Parker 425 this year with Figgy, right? So Alex Figgy qualified 13th, you know, great position out of the 45 6100 trucks, right? So he starts 13th. right after pit two, he was physically third on the road, third in class, which on time, I think he was second. He comes up to the bottleneck that's out on that course, like, you know, mile 80 or 100, wherever it was. So happens his positioning, he was one of the last guys to be there and get stuck. You go from being ahead of the guy who won the race, you know, and Andrew Whitehead, which, you know, with the U Theory team, like, he's just a very consistent driver, not the fastest guy out there, but he drove a very smart race and really good luck went his way.
Yep.
Right? That's how it goes. Like, good luck helped him, you know, like for him, we're all racing through the same race. He got through the bottleneck. We didn't. Right. So here's a guy, Figgy, who is on it. Like, he was making up a lot of positions, passing dudes, you know, bumping guys out of his way and other guys getting flat tires and we're not getting flats and we're getting through it. And then we come up to a guy standing in the middle of the course, stopping him. And then by the time he starts trying to back up, then there's another guy behind him. Now people are getting stuck and it's just a mess. I think there were like 40 or 50 vehicles all parked there. Right. And then all these other guys that were in the back, like, I think, Andrew wins, Bobby Pequoy was way in the back. Like, he got second and I forget who got third, but it's like all these guys, all the fast dudes in the class got stuck. Alex Gonzalez, our team, a couple other teams, all because of that bad luck and that bottleneck, all because that one guy in the buggy decided to roll right there and another guy in a trick truck got stuck, completely blocked the course.
Yeah, it's
totally out of our control, you know? So
that's the thing, yeah, that's love that's and hate racing. About desert racing, right? But yeah, we gotta go to a break here in a second, but you guys, I know, good luck, best of luck here in both 6100 and Trophy Truck at the Mint 400, man, and we'll see you on Fremont.
Thank you. See you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
Hello, guys. It's MMA fighter Chael Sonnen. Check out my podcast, You're Welcome, with Chael Sonnen every Wednesday and Friday right here at Podcast One. We cover the latest in mixed martial arts and everything else going on in the world of sport. Listen free to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts, at PodcastOne.com, and on the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Jim Beaver here. Got the legend Rob McCaffrey calling in just a minute. Waiting on him. He is the reigning Mint 400 champion. And last I heard, Mint 400 coming up this weekend, something like 400 entries on the entry list. And then in addition to that, there's 175 on the wait list. That's like almost 600 off-road vehicles. That doesn't even count like dirt bikes and quads because they don't race the Mint 400. You know it'd be well over 600, be probably close to 700 if you add them in. Like, to me, that's just nuts for an off-road race. Like, wow, like just absolutely insane. But I'd like to welcome Rob McCaffrey, Off-Road Hall of Famer, to the line. How's everything going, Rob?
It's good, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing well, buddy. I was just talking about the Mint 400, man. I heard, last I heard count-wise, we're at 400 entries with 175 on the wait list. I mean, you're Las Vegas born and bred. That's a massive amount of people and spectators and everything else coming to the city of Las Vegas.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, I obviously born here in Las Vegas. Used to go to the Mint 400 when my dad raced in the early 70s. You know, and that's what I remember. I remember huge entries and just tons of people and a huge spectacle here in Las Vegas. And, you know, Mad Media, the Martelli brothers, that's, you know, they've really been working on this race year after year, and it keeps growing and growing. And that's incredible. 475. Well, there's a 400 maxed out and then 175 on the waiting list. It's crazy. I think we really need multiple days of racing right now. There's 2 days or two races in the same day, but I think here in the future we might see multiple days of racing. I sure hope so.
Yeah, I could see like almost, you know, Parker, they do it over two different weekends, you know, they've got two races on like 2 weeks before the Parker 425 for UTVs and then motorcycles and like multiple UTV races. And then they've got the split. Like, I could almost see that like 2 days with four different, you know, races actually happening at the Mint. I think it's getting big enough where so it's really easy to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been saying my two cents to both the guys at Best in Desert and Matt and Josh Martelli. You know, I really think we could have two weekends back-to-back. One weekend could be motorcycles, UTVs, like you say, vintage classes, things like that. We could have a week-long festivities leading up to the second weekend with the bigger trophy trucks and things like that. I think it's definitely doable. It's going to take some work, but I think with the growth of off-road racing and, like I said, everything that Mad Media and Best and Desert are doing, that it can happen. I'd love to because, man, I get to race more. I'd love racing a UTV, you know, getting one of those Polaris Razors and doing that and racing my trophy truck and maybe something else. Right? If there's if it's got wheels, I'd love to race. So hopefully they can work on that. I know it takes a lot of effort to make all that happen, but I definitely think that the MIT 400 can handle it, especially saying, you know, there's that many people on the waiting list. And, you know, I've been listening and hearing from different people, you know, some of them not in the race, and they're really bummed. And, you know, I know talking to Donald at Best of Desert and Daryl Folks and Matt and Josh that they want to try to do everything they can to get everybody in the race, but there are stipulations with BLM. There's timing, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, you know, things like that. So hopefully they can jump those hurdles here for the future and we can all be racing more.
Yeah. Well, and talking about racing more, man, I'm just looking like Mid 400's coming up. We're prepping the Razor Star Car for that. And, you know, and I'm looking at it going, oh, we got a week and a half left. And it doesn't matter how much, you know, how early you get your vehicle done. It's like always something like you're like, oh, man, I wish I had an extra week. But I'm looking at your schedule. You've got the Mint 400. You've got the Lucas opener. You've got San Felipe, man. You guys at McCaquard Motorsports, man, you have a stretch there that's – you guys are pinned, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we started off the year in Parker, 425, doing pretty well. Last lap, we were leading, ended up in the dust, running into the back of somebody, just getting into a little bit when they were stuck. So I got stuck, and it took us out of the hunt for the win. You know, we're looking for redemption at the Mint. You know, we won the Mint overall last year. It was my first overall at the Mint. Been leading many, many years. On the last lap and had issues, drive shaft failure, got a flat tire 1 year. We had a steering belt fall off another year. So, you know, and then, like you said, moving into Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing the very next weekend after the Mint, you know, racing there at Glen Helen, night racing, single night only this year at Glen Helen. So that should be super exciting. And then it's only, I think, 3 or 4 weeks later we'll be in San Felipe. So my schedule, you know, it is what I do. I love doing it and when I have a couple weekends off without racing, the second weekend I'm like scratching my head, you know, itching to get racing again. So it's what we do. You know, we got, you know, six guys that work at the race shop in Southern California getting everything ready. The Pro 2 is actually up here in Las Vegas where I live today on the chassis dyno at Kevin Croyer's. We'll be testing it on Thursday. Friday, the trophy truck will be up here in Vegas on the chassis dyno, and we'll be testing it on Friday afternoon, getting ready for the Mint. So, you know, we've got a system going. I've got great people that work on the trucks. We've got, you know, obviously great partners and our sponsors, you know, that help us out along the way. And we want nothing more 2018 to be a successful year and try to get some more wins and championships.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know you're running the full Lucas schedule. You're doing the full score and the full Best in the Desert schedule as well.
We are running the full Lucas series. You know, they're traveling. They're doing some new things this year. We're racing five of the events this year will be at night. So I think that'll help with the spectators, getting them out at night. So he's, you know, seems like the racers go a little more crazy at night. The trucks seem brighter, faster. So I'm excited about that. They're doing many different things, trying to get more fan interaction in the pits throughout this year. So we'll be doing the full Lucas series. And then as far as the trophy truck goes, in Best in Desert, we'll be racing, as I said already, we race Parker, we'll race the Mint, we'll race Vegas to Reno. And then with the score series, we'll be racing San Felipe, the Baja 500 and the Baja 1000 this year.
Nice. Well, I gotta ask, I was back there at Cranon this past year, and I know BF Goodrich has a massive involvement. I mean, you walk around and there's Rob McCaquard pictures hanging on the walls and things like that. I mean, I know it was really special this last year with Carl going back to Cranon, but I gotta ask, like, you know, that's as much your home as it is anybody's. I mean, any chance in the next couple of years we see you guys back at Cranon?
Yeah, we want to go every year, and you know, at the beginning of the year, we always lay down the schedule, see you know, how many weeks we have in between races, and see it, what's doable. We had planned to go there last year in 2017 and run the Pro 4, but the months, and especially the weeks leading up to it, we had some issues happening in short course. You know, fell behind a little bit in the points, and we decided that the smart thing to do was to, to stay home and focus on you know, trying to get championships in Lucas Oil and you know, better opportunities for the Trophy Truck in the Desert Series. So we didn't go last year. I want to go every year. It's definitely an incredible place. Crandon, you know, it's definitely one of my favorite short course tracks. I've been racing there, you know, for a lot of years. Haven't been there, though, in the last three or four since we were racing back there. But I'd love to get back. It's always on the schedule. It's tentative this year. Kind of see how things go, and we'd love to be there. I know they're getting close to the 50th, and, you know, I love the people back there, Cliff Flannery and everybody at the track. They put on an awesome event. If you haven't seen that, it's really a bucket list type thing if you're a fan of off-road racing at all. And you know, anyone that's gone there, when they come home, racing or not, you know, they can't stop talking about it. And when it comes up in a conversation, it always, you know, gets the spark of energy. And anyone and everyone that's ever gone really has a good time. It's cool. It's a great place to go visit and watch races.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's definitely a bucket list, whether you're racing or not. But I know another bucket list for a lot of people, and you've kind of dabbled in it the last couple of years. We've got to talk King of the Hammers real quick, man, because you threw that in the mix in between all this other stuff as well. I mean, I know you like a challenge, and it seems like, you know, whatever it is, you like to, you know, I know you're getting involved in the UTV stuff as well. But, I mean, how is King of the Hammers? Because that's a lot of this stuff between short course and desert, you can kind of adapt back and forth. But, I mean, you throw the rocks in, and that's a complete different element. I mean, how has that been for you in this transition into doing some Ultra 4 stuff?
Yeah, you know, the Ultra 4, Dave Cole, everybody there at King of the Hammers event's an incredible thing. You know, I was fortunate enough in 2010 to get the opportunity to go drive somebody's vehicle, and I became addicted. The first time we went out there to go test, you know, I don't remember, jackhammer, sledgehammer, something like that. It was my first rock crawling experience, and when we got in there, I'm like, you can't go that way, that's not passable. And they all chuckled and said, no, that's the way we go, and we're gonna go that way. So, you know, they showed me how to do it, and from that day, you know, I dug it. I wanted to do it again. I've always wanted to put my own effort together and try to go win that King of the Hammer race, because it's for me, it seems so much harder to conquer, and especially win, let alone finish, you know, than anything that I do. The Baja 1000 is tough, and an analogy that I say, the Baja 1000 has thousands of things that can reach out and grab you during the race. The King of the Hammers, their race has millions of things. You know, to be at 5 miles an hour, even less, trying to go up through a rock canyon when you're actually racing somebody door to door, side by side, and you have to have a lot of patience. You have to, you know, reel yourself back in. Normally, I'm used to, oh, there's dust up there. Let's go, you know, let's drive 110% and go try to pass that guy. at Hammers, if you do that, you're going to break your car. And some of the things you have to go up, or the rock canyons and the drops that you have to go down, they're like, you got to drop off a school bus, or you got to climb up over a school bus. And you know, so many people have gone and done it, and, you know, when they come home, you know, they have, again, you know, same thing as Crandon. It brings a smile to your eye, to your mouth, and you know, people can't stop talking about it. I know Johnny Greaves went this year with his son CJ and a UTV, and, you know, he was calling me a couple months out, and, you know, he'd known I'd been there and asked me some questions, and sometimes he asked some questions, I chuckle, and I'm like, you have no idea what you're gonna see and what you're going to have to do. And when he was home, and just a week ago or so, I was texting back and forth, and, you know, I said to him, I go, do you miss it yet? And he goes, absolutely. We talk about it every day. So that's another, you know, bucket list event, whether it's to go watch or to go compete in. Every year it's growing. You know, Dave Cole's done a tremendous job with that, you know, getting the publicity out there. It's crazy. I want to do it again. I've been fortunate enough to drive the last 2 years with Greg Adler. We finished both years, but, you know, just out of the top 10. And I want to win that thing. Now I finished it. It took me till my third time driving on my own so I could finish the race. And I soloed, and we got 13th. But I'd love nothing more to go back and do that again. and try to win it. It's definitely tough, though. That is no joke. King of the Hammer winner, that guy is a badass. And Jason Shear this year got it, and he's an incredible driver, and he's got an incredible rock crawler.
Yeah, for sure. And before we let you go, man, I know you've started to do a little bit more with Polaris Razor. I know you got a few of them in the garage. I see a little bit of branding on the trucks. How was your journey into the Razor life, as they like to call it? I know you and I talked, I think, at the UTV Worlds last year. You were thinking about maybe building one for a few races and things like that. I mean, how's the Polaris Razor adventure been for you, Rob?
You know, it's been really a lot of fun. Last year, winning the Mid 400, we were fortunate enough to win a Razor, a two-seater, and we take that out and have a good time. I have a couple four-seaters, and we go out with the girls and my son, and we do that. I've got a lot of miles in them, have a really lot of good times with them, and yes, it's definitely, it's on my list to build one into a race car. Just haven't figured out the schedule. Being as busy as I am, you were alluding to earlier, you know, I'm trying to build up Razors now just to go out and have fun with, and just my time is so valuable and not doing, being able to get it done. But, I love racing those things. As far as bringing the family together, that's one thing I think it's really helped with us, giving us a time away from racing and actually still spending time out in the desert with the daughters and my son and having a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, good luck at the Mint this next week, buddy. I'll see you out there on Fremont Street. And, here's hoping you can repeat as Mint 400 champ.
That's definitely the hope, and we'll have our Rockstar Energy Makita BF Goodrich Vision Wheel truck on display on Friday at Tech in the Vision Wheel booth. I'll be walking up and down, so stop by, say hi, and again, three bucket list things. You got Crandon, you got King of the Hammer, you got the Men 400. Those are three of the biggest races that are all year, so please come check them out.
Absolutely, buddy. Thanks a lot, Rob, man, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, appreciate it. Take care, Jim.
Thanks, buddy. Well, I told you it's going to be short and sweet this week, and that's what it was. It's always a good day when you get Rob McCracken and Jerry Zaden on the same show, though. Thank you guys for tuning in. Like I said before, I'm going to the Mint 400. I'm actually probably there now by the time you listen to this. But thank you for the continued support of Project Action on Podcast One here from the Polaris Razor Studio. Thanks to Geico, TrueCar, and all of you guys for listening in. Please go and subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. Leave that rating or review when you leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review. I will follow you back. And don't forget, Friday, I will be doing live radio, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, from Contingency at the Mint 400, 10:30 Pacific. And I'll also be doing a Facebook live stream. My co-host will be Tiffany Stone. You know her, the TV personality, Tiffany Stone. So it's going to be a good time. Please tune into that. We'll have a whole lot more and a longer podcast coming at you guys next week. Thanks for continuing to support us. Stay tuned. And we got a lot more fun coming at you in the coming weeks and months. Thanks a lot. See you guys at the racetrack this weekend.